Go look tonight at part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus speaking, of course. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient to the day is its own trouble." I read this passage, and of course Jesus was talking to people who were very concerned about life and very concerned about wealth and power and fame and everything else that people seem to think is so important. And also about those who didn't have much, and they were worried about, in a sense, where their next meal was coming from. And so Jesus gives to us an understanding that God knows and understands the situation we're in. The Sermon on the Mount basically is kind of summed up in one thing. It's either God's way or man's way. We have the choice in the matter. It's good versus evil. It's spiritual versus material. And then he says there that where our treasure is, chapter 6 and verse 21, he says, "For where treasure is, there will your heart be also." So he's talking to people who wanted to build up treasures on the earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things in this life. There's nothing wrong with working and earning a living and having the things that God provides because we can have that. There's nothing wrong with that as long as that doesn't become the most important part of our life. And that's really what Jesus was talking about here. As always throughout history, people have always tried to get more and more things for themselves, and very often people think that if they do that, then that will bring them some kind of happiness that they wouldn't normally have. But which will we choose to be of greater importance? And that's Jesus' point right here. Unless we have to live in a material world, in a material realm, and provide for ourselves and for our families, and God wants us to do that. We're expected to do that. But there's a priority that needs to be set. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus begins the discussion on this particular, their explanation on this particular part. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now think about the idea of two masters. Jesus lived in a time in the Roman Empire where there were many slaves in the Roman Empire. In fact, a great portion of the population of the Roman Empire was made up of free people and slaves. And that was pretty much the designation of the two. And so Jesus was using an illustration here of the slave, the servant of another, and he says he cannot serve two masters. Well, the difference in that time was it would be impossible for a slave to do that unless he was given his freedom. But as long as he was a slave of someone, he had to serve whoever his master was. But Jesus is saying to us, we have a choice. We are going to be a servant of one or the other. But we have a choice in the matter. We can serve what is right and good and in God's sight, or we can choose to go our own way. Now turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." So we're going to be slaves or servants of one or the other. Either righteousness and faith and goodness, or we're going to go the way that we want to go and serve our own ways and our own thoughts. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, now Paul talking about the law of Christ, he says, "For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And Paul puts those two things opposite of each other. There's either like he says there in Romans chapter 6, you're going to be in slavery to sin, or you're going to be in slavery or a servant of Christ. Well, we have the choice, because we're going to be one or the other. But the choice has to be made, and it's according to God's will. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says that Christ has set us free. Free from the burden, the guilt of sin, which keeps us under the authority and power of Satan. So Jesus is telling him in Matthew 6 that you have to make a choice of who you're going to serve. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings 18 is the scene on the mountain with Elijah and the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, and he says he presents to them this idea: if you want your God to be Baal, and God is my God, we'll have a contest here, and we'll kill an animal, we'll put it on the altar, and we'll see which God rains down fire upon the sacrifice. Well, of course, God did that. But before that, Elijah said, "How long do you go limping between two sides? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Of course, we know what happened, because God, the true God, sent down fire upon the altar that Elijah had prepared. And so Jesus, like always, is giving you and me a choice in the matter. Now, Satan cannot overcome us if we don't allow it, if we're faithful to him. And that's what he's saying. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice, and the choice is up to you and me. Verse 25 then, Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Well, of course, the answer is yes. He says in the King James Version originally, he says, "Take no thought for your life." Now, that doesn't mean we're not to think about it and try to do the best that we can with it. But he's saying, don't be overly anxious for these things. Don't put that in our only priority in life is to have the things of life. But keep a perspective as opposed to the spiritual, which is that should be the true priority in this life. And remember that God has promised if we follow him, he is going to bless us. Now, again, that doesn't always mean that he's going to give us everything we want. God never promised that. But he did promise if we are faithful to him, he's going to take care of us in this life. So Jesus brings up the basic necessities of life: food, and clothing, and shelter. But he says there's more to life than that. He says God knows that you have need of these things. In other words, God knows every day. He knows not only that we have need of these things, He knows what we think about it. He knows what actions we take to provide for ourselves and for our family. And so God is there. In Psalms 37, in verse 25, David said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That doesn't mean that God always is going to provide everything we need. We have to put forth an effort to do it also. That's part of our choice to serve God. But He's going to provide for us the necessities, the things that we need in life, if we make a choice to be faithful to Him. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, well, in verse 25, we think about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how we're going to be clothed and everything. And Jesus said in verse 26, He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of more value than they? Okay? Here Jesus says God is concerned about the birds of the air. God's concerned about the animals and the plants and everything else in life. And Jesus here uses three different illustrations. First one, and He uses these illustrations to simplify the thing that He's talking about. Now, if you read through the four gospel accounts and the other quotes from Jesus that are found throughout the New Testament, one of the things you'll find, Jesus did not try to overwhelm people with the majesty of His language or knowledge. He didn't try to impress people with big and long words He knew. His teaching was very plain. It's very simple. And this is an illustration of it. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Because you think about food and clothing and shelter and all the things you need. Just look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about those things. He says, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of more value than they? Of course, God made the birds of the air. God made them. He takes care of them by giving them the instinct and their understanding of how to survive in this world. You watch birds sometimes, different kinds, and they have different abilities in building nests and other things, and you wonder, well, how do they know to build that nest the way it is? Well, God provided for it. How do they know where to go to find food and all these things? Because God gave them that much understanding. And we call it instinct, and it's ingrained in them because God put it there. So God allowed His Son to die for us on the cross. But He didn't allow His Son to die on the cross for the birds or whoever it might be or whatever it might be. He says in verse 27, then, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or some translations say to his life. But whether it's time or height or whatever it is, the answer is, if we worry about it, we can't do either one. In fact, there's some indication in medical science that if you worry too much about things, it actually shortens your life. And so Jesus says, don't spend your time worrying about things. Just do the best you can, and God will prepare and God will take care of you. So why should we worry about it? Well, God has made us to serve Him as best we can. We don't always do that. Sometimes we fall short, and sometimes we don't receive the blessing that God wants us to have because we don't take the time to serve Him properly and expect in our life of ourselves that we're going to be faithful. God does not demand more of us than we are able to give, nor does He expect any less of us than we are able to give. Sometimes people give up on Christ and give up on Christianity, and they say, well, it's just too difficult. I can't live that way. I can't live that kind of life. Well, Jesus and God do not demand of us more than we're able to do. Now, over a period of time, if we believe and we study and learn and put it into practice, we'll get better at how we serve God. But we have to have a desire to do so and a willingness to do so. So God does not demand more of us than we're able to do. Neither does he expect any less. If you go back and read Matthew 25, the first about 12, 13 verses there, and on into Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable of the talents. And there was a five-talent man, there was two-talent man, there's one-talent man. Five-talent man had the ability to go out and earn five more, and he was blessed for it. Now, the two-talent man was not expected to go out and earn five talents to be faithful. But he used what he had and doubled what he had, two talents, and he was acceptable to his master. Well, the one-talent man, God did not expect him, or his master did not expect. He come back with two more talents than he had, or five more. He expected him to do the best what he did. He was thrown out not because he had one talent, but because he didn't use the opportunity that he was given. And that's the same thing for us. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, Solomon said, "This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so we go back now to Matthew 6 and verse 28. He says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So he talks about time and stature and those things. He says you can't, by worrying and having great anxiety, add to those things. He says, well, what about clothing? He says, consider the lilies of the field. Verse 28. Why be anxious about it? He uses that illustration. Well, they could walk through the fields, especially in the springtime when the flowers were coming out, and see the lilies growing there, growing naturally on their own. And he says, God takes care of them. And in doing so, it's a blessing to us. We see the beauty of the flowers and such that are around us. We know that some things are for food for us and for food for animals, which we also can eat. And so, in those things, God provides for us. In fact, in the plants that God provided all around the world give oxygen for us to breathe and keep us alive. So God takes care of those things, and a lot of them we don't even think about. But Solomon, the wisest and greatest king of his time, he wanted us to understand that God is not only in control of the spiritual realm, God is in control of the physical realm also. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "And the earth brought forth grass, and herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit after their kind, and God saw that it was good." So he says, what do you worry about clothing for? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't have to work, they don't have to toil and plant seed and everything else. It just naturally does that because God directs it. Well, God cares about the birds, he cares about the grass and plants of the field. How much more for us? And that's Jesus' point here. To those people who are always concerned about these necessities of life. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, we have another thing about it. Not only did God create the plants and everything else and the animals, Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed man," that's us, "of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, some translations say a living being, but the word soul is really the more accurate translation, because it means there is a part of us that is placed within us from God that the other things that he created do not have. We have a spirit being within us that the plants and the animals around us do not have. Now, and so Jesus is saying if God takes care of the birds and the animals and plants and everything, He's going to take care of you. We have to turn our lives over to follow him, though. But verse 31 then says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. What's kind of interesting to me here in verse 31, he asks the question, don't worry about what we shall eat or drink or what we shall put on. Verse 32, he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek. Well, this was before the law of Christ. And so there was the law for the Jews, there was the law for Gentiles. And Jesus says the Gentiles, they're pretty much all of them. That's what they worry about all the time. And he says, but God knows you have need of these things, and he's going to take care of you. So you have to be prepared and ready to be faithful to God under whatever law you live, whether under law of Moses while Jesus was still upon the earth, or under the law of Christ which we have today. Now again, he doesn't say don't take care of those things and don't work or don't do anything. We have to do that, obviously. God gives us the opportunity to work and to live and to earn a living so that we can prepare for ourselves and provide for others also. And so we have to do that. But we cannot, as Jesus is trying to point out, we cannot turn our back on the spiritual things and be pleasing to God. Now, someone said that material possessions can be possessions for us, or we can be possessed by them. And if that becomes the most important thing in life, we're possessed by them rather than the other way around. And then Jesus says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God already knows. He wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. And he wants us to thank him for the blessings we receive. But he wants us to understand that he knows and will provide if we will place our faith and our trust in him. We go back to Matthew 6 and verse 33. So here's the answer that God gives, or Christ gives here. He says, but here's the final result of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, these physical things, if we place our faith, our trust in God, we work hard, we try to be faithful to him, he's going to forgive where we fall short. He's going to bless us with the things and necessities of life. In verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, we may think, well, okay, it's easy to say that because things aren't always going well for us. And it's not always easy. If it were that way, then God wouldn't have to tell us, don't worry about it. Because we do, we're human beings. But he says, you place your faith and trust in me, and I will see that these things are given to you. And so he says, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Well, there's always something else tomorrow that we're going to have to worry about or have a problem with. In other words, don't borrow from the future. Take care of things now and prepare for now. And those things in the future will be much easier to deal with. And he says, sufficient to the day is its own trouble. Now, his kingdom, his church, the way of life which he has given to us in this world is given to us for the purpose of causing us to be able to come together, to worship, to study, to encourage each other by our presence here and our common worship and study. And we need to take advantage of that as much as possible. And he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil, or the evil of that day for itself. In other words, don't borrow from tomorrow and worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Take care of now first. And again, he's not saying don't plan ahead. There's other passages that talk about planning ahead. But always take Christ into our thing and the way that we live. And in James chapter 4, he warns those who would say, well, tomorrow we'll leave here, we'll go to another city, and we'll stay there a year and trade and get gain and have all these riches. He says, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. He says, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. But he says you ought to say, if God will, we will live and do this or that. So we look at this passage and realize the Lord takes care of the birds, the animals, the plants, and everything. He's going to take care of us. But we have to look at this in faith to realize he has promised he's going to take care of us. And that's where our faith needs to be. But tonight, if there's a need in your life, if that you recognize that and you need to come for whatever reason it may be, why don't you do so as we stand and as we sing.